Well, it's going to be an interesting offseason for the Red Sox as well, both in terms of roster moves, a new guy at the helm in Chaim Bloom, and some great opportunities for fans as well. And to learn more about that, we welcome back to the program our friend, Red Sox historian, longtime journalist, Gordon Eads. Gordon, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich, I just heard you do the sports headline, so I've got a headline for you. We're 7 weeks away, brother, from pitchers and catchers reporting. How about that? Baseball season is just around the corner.
Considering it's 9 degrees outside our window, that's the best news I could get, Gordon.
That's kind of what I figured, that, you know, up in Bangor and all, that, you know, people would like some reason to continue to hope. It is going to get better. Trust me.
We're looking forward to that. Well, in the meantime, a lot of things going on. Let's start with the team itself and what I think is a terrific hire in getting Chaim Bloom, who had such success getting things done down in Tampa Bay on a very limited budget. He must think that he's died and gone to baseball heaven here.
I mean, think about it, Rich. I mean, for 15 seasons, he's been working under the constraints that the Rays, being in the market that they're in, have to work under, and the last time I checked, the Rays made the postseason this past year, and we did not, with the highest payroll in baseball. So I'm sure that he feels just as you described. You know that the gloves are off, and he's got some money available, a checkbook available he probably never even dared to dream of when he was in St. Pete.
And I, you know, much talk has been made about paring down the overall budget, but it's not like it's going to be a shoestring operation here by any sense of the word. And I like the fact that it seems like some attention is being paid to the back end of that roster and to those role players that can help. I like the Jose Peraza signing and Martin Perez, a very interesting guy that was announced officially earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, Martin Perez is a left-handed pitcher. Who is projected, as you just noted, to be a starter on the back end of our rotation. He actually had a great first half, Rich. He had come to the Rangers, to the Twins from the Rangers, and early on when he had a sub-3 ERA and all, people were talking about him as one of the steals of the offseason. He kind of flattened out a little bit, but he's developed a cutter to with a plus fastball and has been healthy, and so right now, as things stand, he would be the fourth left-hander in our rotation with Chris Sale, who, as you know, was just recently cleared to begin throwing. We expect him to be ready for spring training. David Price and Eduardo Rodriguez, who had a breakout season last year, winning 19 games. If I remember correctly, he finished sixth in the Cy Young Award voting. So, as you well understand, having followed the game as long as you have, it takes more than five starting pitchers to get you from the end of March to the beginning of October. It's important for us to have depth in our starting rotation. We need more depth because before it's all over, you're usually talking about using 9, 10, 11 starters in the course of a season. But Perez should help. And you mentioned Jose Peraza, last 4 years played for the Reds, can play infield, can play outfield, actually was used as a starter in 2018 at shortstop for the Reds. So a good glove man and young and versatile, so he should be a nice addition. That said, it's going to kind of break my heart when I hear that Brock Holt has left us and signed as a free agent with another club. I mean, certainly he's entitled to a payday that he deserves, and he put up some terrific numbers for us. Wonderful guy in the clubhouse and an unbelievable guy in the community. His relationship with those Jimmy Fund kids is a rare and blessed thing. I don't know if we've had a player since Ted Williams who was more involved with the Jimmy Fund than Brock Holt, and I love him for it.
Yeah, I saw some great pictures of him just yesterday with kids at Dana-Farber, and that was fantastic. Of course, everybody wants to know about Mookie Betts, but I don't know. Is the team, I feel like the team is in a pretty good position here because they don't have to make a deal here in the offseason. You've got some options. You could wait till trade deadline time, or you could just let him play out the string and see what happens after next year.
Well, absolutely. Those are the options. And you know, the reality is, as our ownership made clear after the season, the goal, it's not necessarily a mandate, but the goal is to somehow reset the luxury tax threshold. In order to do so, we need to get under that threshold, which is around $208 million, I think, which is going to take some creativity on Haim's part. And the reason that's important, Rich, is, you know, for every year that you're over the threshold, you pay a greater percentage in luxury tax.
Mm.
And if we don't bring it under, you know, we're going to be facing at a 50% add-on, and we want to avoid that. I mean, just like two other big market teams, the Dodgers and the Yankees, have done in recent years. I mean, one of the reasons Brian Cashman splurged the way he did this winter is because they did reset the luxury tax after last year. So are we going to be able to do it? We'll see. Are they going to maybe relax that requirement? That's also possible. But in order to do so, I think everything's on the table. I think Haim is looking at all possible options and, you know, trading Mookie, who is without a doubt a generational player and a guy who, you know, age-wise is just entering his prime. There may be better outcomes than doing that. Again, it may depend on what clubs are offering in return. We did see, and I know it was different circumstances, but you do remember in 2012 when Ben Sherrington's ability to trade Carl Crawford and Josh Beckett and Adrian Gonzalez to the Dodgers allowed us to completely reset our payroll going forward. And all we did in 2013, the last time I checked, was win a World Series.
I will take that again. And you know, fans have, I don't know, maybe it's the new norm. You and I are old enough to remember when, we didn't know what a world championship felt like. Younger fans who've experienced some of them as many as four in their lifetime, I have to realize how good this is. And listen, it's okay to reset and build for a couple of years down the road and then still be competitive this coming season.
Well, see, what separates us, Rich, from other franchises, and I'm not taking anything away from the Houston Astros for one or the Chicago Cubs for another, but you know, they sold a deal to their fans. They said, look, you know, we're going to tear this down completely. You're going to have to tolerate some 100 loss seasons and, you know, give us 5 years and we'll be a contender. And in both cases, it worked out. But we play in a market where that just wouldn't fly.
Right.
Our fans and we ourselves, we expect to compete year in, year out. You know, a total rebuild. You remember when Theo was still here in the phrase bridge year?
yes, I do.
Talked about and people, you know, went nuts about that. Can you imagine if we went into full rebuild mode? That's not going to happen. And we still have, clearly, the foundational pieces of a very good ball club. When you look at the left side of our infield with, you know, Xander Bogaerts bringing his game to the next level at shortstop last year, Rafael Devers doing things that very few 22-year-olds in Major League history have done, Eddie Rodriguez having the breakout season on the hill, Christian Vasquez having his best season behind the dish, J.D. Martinez deciding not to exercise his opt-out, and, Chris Sale being cleared to throw again. I mean, you take those pieces and you've got the makings of a very, very good ball club. And now it remains to be seen, you know, what Haim's intentions are in terms of surrounding those guys with talent.
We're talking with Gordon Eads here on Downtown. Now, well, let's get to what fans can jump right away, which is tickets. Some of them already available, Sox packs, and I'm looking through some great packaging here of tickets. The opening day pack, the Yankee pack, which looks great as well, the East Coast pack. I like the way these are being marketed.
Yeah, I think that's a very creative approach that our ticket office has taken. You know, it gives fans a lot of latitude to decide, you know, what combination of games are most important to them, you know, or whether it's the dates the games are played on or the opponents or whatever, you've got some say. And in addition to the Sox packs, our single game tickets have also gone on sale for select single games. So, you know, you can go online, redsox.com/tickets. Or you can call 1-877-RED-SOX-9, or you can take a stroll down to Fenway Park. Although from Bangor, you know what, Rich, get online or call. You know,
I think that's easier.
A 4-hour drive. All right. and the other thing that I've really gotten pumped about since we implemented it 6 years ago. I mean, to me, it's the perfect way to remind everyone that baseball season is rapidly approaching. And that's winter weekend.
Oh, yes.
You know, this will be our, I don't know if you've had a chance to come down, but it's a true baseball festival. In the middle of winter, when the snow is piled high and the temperature gauge is below zero, you know, to know that you can come in and gather with, you know, your fellow Red Sox fans. This year, for the first time, we're going to be in Springfield, Mass., in Western Mass., at the MGM Springfield and also the Mass Mutual Center, which is right across the street. That first night of winter weekend, we have a town hall format where our ownership is there. Sam Kennedy will be there. Haim will be there. Alex Cora. We introduce virtually our entire 2020 team should be there. Most of the guys do come. Then we have a lot of our most notable alumni in past years. You know, David's been there, Pedro's been there, Jason Veritek, El Tiante, Jim Rice, Freddie Lynn. And then the next day, that Saturday, I mean, from morning to night, it's just wall-to-wall baseball. And there's something for everyone from the youngest kids in your family to your grandparents. You know, whether it's running the bases or taking some swings in a batting cage, getting a little hands-on instruction from one of our instructors, photo ops, autograph sessions, panel discussions. There's a game show format our guys take part in. And one thing that I confess that I did a couple of winter weekends ago, I did avail myself, Rich, of the chance to pretend that I was Jerry Remy's sidekick and sat in that simulated broadcast booth and called a couple of plays. It's a lot of fun. So, again, you know, you can go online. The event is typically sold out or gotten very close to selling out, so I wouldn't wait too long before you make up your mind. But go on redsox.com/winter weekend or call 1-877-RED-SOX-9 And if you forget all of that stuff, just Google Red Sox Winter Weekend, and I'm sure all the pertinent information will pop up.
I would go, Gordon, just to ask Freddie Lynn what he's putting on his cornflakes to look so good.
Isn't that amazing? That's so interesting you say that, because every time I see him, and, you know, Freddie comes in and, you know, usually several times a year to be in our Legends suite or participate in some event on the field. He looks like he's made that deal with the devil that he's just never going to age, you know. And what a great guy. And you often, I don't know about you, Rich, but I often wonder how different his history would have been and our ball club's history would have been if they hadn't had that snafu when he winds up signing with the Angels and had just been a Red Sox lifer for the rest of his career.
I always thought he was a Hall of Famer if he'd stayed at Fenway.
Well, you know what? I think you could make a pretty darn good case for that. But, you know, he's in our Red Sox Hall of Fame. And speaking of which, I don't know if you saw the announcement about 3 weeks ago or so. We did pick a new class of Red Sox Hall of Famers.
Yes.
The, the no-brainers, of course, were David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez. I'm especially delighted that Rich Gedman, you know, two-time All-Star and catcher on our 80s team, caught Clement's 20 strikeout game, among other things. And a local kid, undrafted out of Worcester, Massachusetts, winds up being a two-time All-Star.
I used to work Getty's baseball camp at Boston College, at Babson College, back in the late 80s, early 90s. He's just one of the nicest guys in the world.
Isn't he? Yeah, and you, when you think of the 20, 30 years of service he's given us after his playing career, you know, as a coach, a batting coach, a manager, et cetera, I love that Rich is going in. And another guy that I think is eminently deserving that got voted in was Dan Duquette.
Yes.
You know, Dan had a stormy tenure here while he was here. I mean, that's when he presided over the departure of Roger Clemens and Mo Vaughn. But you look at some of his acquisitions, you know, two of the greatest trades in Red Sox history. He's the guy who traded for Pedro Martinez, and in terms of a pure deal, what might have been an even better deal was trading a big league closer, Heathcliff Slocum, to the Seattle Mariners for a couple of prospects, one named Jason Veritek, the other named Derek Lowe. I think that worked out.
That wasn't bad.
Right? And Dan signed Manny, he signed Johnny Damon. I think he opened up the Dominican Republic to our scouting to a much greater degree than it ever been. Also the Far East. And, you know, we talk about how the baseball analytics people come up with what they like to call undervalued assets. Well, how about Dan coming up with Tim Wakefield, who had been released by the Pirates? You know, Troy O'Leary, who was just a guy with the Milwaukee Brewers. And Brian Daubeck, who, you know, among other things, was a replacement player and ended up being a guy who contributed to some winning baseball in Boston. So Dan, the honor is richly deserved. I'm happy he's going in.
The Belleville Basher, absolutely. That's
the
great.
Belleville Basher, way to go, man! I love it.
Gordon, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time for us. Folks, go online and learn more about Winter Weekend. Get signed up for that. Get tickets and get excited. 7 weeks, best news I've heard all week. Gordon, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, Rich, have a great holiday, and the same to all your listeners up there in Bangor, one of my favorite towns. Take care.
You too. Thanks again, Gordon. Gordon Eads, Red Sox historian, with us here on Downtown.